Okay, with this hour, we'll take your phone calls with Ann Barham, and we'll also talk about more of her work, The Past Life Perspective. Incredible book, by the way. We'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Ann Barham with us. Ann, do you find that a past life ability will carry over into this life? You know, if somebody was a great singer, that they'll be a singer in this life, or if they were a great mathematician, they might have an acumen for that. Does that happen?
Very possibly. In fact, one of the clues of what you may have been or done in prior lifetimes is the talents you have now. So if you look at those things that just come to you naturally, or that you seem to have an extraordinary talent for, very possibly this isn't the first time you've done that. and it may skip back a number of lifetimes. It's not necessarily from the immediately prior lifetime. It may have been many lifetimes prior that you were a wonderful singer and now you are again. But that is often one of the things that we'll be able to do, is pull forward some of the strengths and talents for people to help them now, because it's almost like you can mentor yourself if you can go back to a personality that really knew how to do this skill and knew how to do it really well in the past.
What about birthmarks? If you had a birthmark in a prior life, will you have that same birthmark in this life?
Typically what I see with birthmarks, if someone has a birthmark now, it's can link back to an injury in a prior life.
Ah, okay.
So, and in my book, there's a number of client stories where birthmarks do come into play. And it's often very surprising to people because it's not the main thing that they've come in to find out about, but it's kind of an aside that they realize, you know, they go through this lifetime and they find that they were stabbed through the back with a spear, and it protruded all the way out the front of their body, and they go, "Oh my gosh, that's where I have a birthmark now, is in the, you know, right in the middle of my chest there, right where that spear went through." Or they have, some other kind of birthmark that will relate to an injury in the prior life.
Does prior life knowledge of other existences make the person in this life a better person? Does that help them?
Well, I personally think it does, which is one of the reasons I do this work.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think this kind of a perspective on the world and upon human existence brings to us is, I like to talk about it as the great equalizer, because in a sense, as we see ourselves in different bodies and personalities, and we're different races, we're different economic conditions, it's different belief systems, we start realizing that, ooh, gosh, I'm not so different from these other people that I'm right now feeling really judgmental for, because guess what, I used to behave like that, or I had a situation where I was the perpetrator of violence towards someone, and I had another situation where I was the victim of violence. But I think it really teaches us an incredible level of tolerance and also understanding and compassion for people that are different than us now, because we realize that there's this very common human experience. So I have kind of a funny story on myself. One of the lifetimes I went to myself was as a Viking raider.
Oh, really?
I went to that personality, I mean, it was like the bloodlust was up, and yeah, I wanted to go rape, pillage, and plunder, and, you know, bury my axe in somebody's head and the whole thing. And that's so contrary to who I am now. But it's just a whole different experience to be connecting to that kind of personality and realize, wow, for me, then, that personality that I was, that was my worldview. Those were the values that I held, and I thought I was absolutely right in what I was doing. So it just gives us a whole other picture and an understanding of where other people are coming from.
And where does karma fit in past lives? And by that I mean, if you were a bully in a past life, do you get bullied in this life?
Pretty inevitably, we'll find that we get the opportunity to be on either side of any fence. So, and again, it's gathering the experience and coming to balance. So indeed, if we had a lifetime where we were the perpetrator of violence or something like that, we probably will be the recipient
of
that
the victim.
In another lifetime. Yeah. And so that is kind of the whole what goes around comes around concept.
That's where it came from, right?
Exactly. And it, you see that tradition in just about every religion as well. So even though we put the label karma on it, which comes from the Eastern tradition, it's a concept that we all have.
Let's take some phone calls with you for the remaining portion of the hour. Let us go first to Pamela in McKinleyville, California, first-time caller. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the program. You're up with us.
Hello, thank you. I'd like to say I was raised by my father and mother who were atheists, and I had no concept of religion growing up, but I learned a little bit as I grew to be a teenager and so on. 1971, in a town in Oregon, I was visited by an archangel. I know how crazy that sounds. Needless to say, I came back to where my hometown was and tried to tell my mother about this, and she beat me up and sent me for the first time horribly to the mental hospital.
So, oh,
I was practically raped by the head psychiatrist at the mental hospital. And from then, that was 40 years ago. And I got out and tried to find my equilibrium again.
How'd you get out of there, Pam?
I was there for about 2.5 weeks. And they medicated me. And I had to go to group. And I had to paint pictures and talk to another psychiatrist who was kind. But what I became aware of blatantly was good and evil in the world. And at that time, I think Nixon was being trying to be impeached, and the world was crazy. And after the archangel gave me the message, I didn't see the archangel. The light turned golden, and I got the message. And the message was, you are our Father's beloved, and you carry Christ. So I tried to carry Christ, you know, to bring to my mother. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I later married a combat veteran of Vietnam, husband I just adored, still love him. We're divorced, but during the marriage, because of his issues in Vietnam and my experiences,
sure,
wound up in the mental hospitals again.
Oh, boy.
From 1988 to 2002, and I found Mother Teresa. Like I said, I was never raised with religion, but I found Mother Teresa books. And so for the years that I was in and out of mental hospitals, finding Mother Teresa, talking about the poorest of the poor, I treated my fellow clients, inmates. They called us patients or clients or inmates. I don't know what they called us, really. But we were there, stuck there, couldn't get out. And I simply loved my fellow friends.
Well, let's ask Ann this, Pam. Is it possible that all these things that she went through was a contradiction of past lives that may have contributed to this?
Well, I think what would be interesting if I were to work with Pamela would be to go and look for prior lifetimes where she and her mother had been together before, or where she and her former husband had been together before, mm-hmm. and see what kind of dynamics perhaps were set up initially and what maybe was being played out in the current life. Including the whole issue of being placed in a mental hospital against your will.
And I was going to say, when you can be interpreted as being mentally ill, could that be because there's some kind of overlap in your past lives and something has happened to you? Does that happen?
I don't know if I'm quite understanding.
If you get accused of being mentally ill, Mm-hmm. Is it possible that past lives have got you so confused that that contributes to that?
Well, there's some question of people who are labeled as psychotic or multiple personality disorder, that maybe there's prior life influences that they're kind of bleeding through, which just warrants more research. I wouldn't really be able to say one way or another, and it might depend on the individual. But certainly if someone was having a lot of past life recall spontaneously and was talking about it to people that didn't really understand or believe that, they might, especially if they were quite narrow-minded, they might decide you're just nuts and we're going to have you committed. But that's a pretty harsh response to that. That type of thing.
Sure is. Okay, let's go to Robert in New York now, east of the Rockies. Robert, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call. My question is, right, like with a past life regression, if you were to get that, is that possible that can explain an instance of a deja vu if you meet somebody, you've met them for the first time, you've never met them anywhere, but you feel like an instant knowing, an instant connection beyond words, but you still don't understand how or why?
Absolutely. That's a very key indicator that you and this individual have been together before in a prior lifetime. The whole deja vu experience, especially when you have that kind of deep connection with someone almost instantaneously. And there's that sense of, gee, I've known this person all my life, right? Even though you just met them.
You can feel that.
Yeah.
There's that connection.
That's a really, really good indicator that you probably have been together before, and probably more than once, too, that there may be a chain of lifetimes that you've been together.
How?
And it can come in many different forms. So you could have been family members in one life, and you might have been business associates in another, and you might have been rivals in another, but there's that continuing connection.
How important is spirituality in all of this? Does it matter?
Does it matter? As far as
being spiritual, being a believer in God, does that have...
Not necessarily, although inevitably you kind of get there in terms of understanding that there is something bigger than human life that's going on here. But I've had people from all different religions or no religion, different belief systems, and that doesn't seem to really matter as far as their ability to retrieve past life information and to find it really useful. The approach that I use, I do try to draw in a spiritual aspect in the sense of whatever it is, we don't necessarily label it as God. I just label it as there's a guiding presence or a very wise and loving presence that's here to be with you. And so that you can label spirituality, or I don't know what you want to label it, but when you've gone through the experience of being yourself across many, many lifetimes in different ways, shapes, and forms, and realizing that continuity and then also the connection that we have with other people, I think that in and of itself is a very spiritual experience.
Have you had any potential clients that you didn't want to handle because they just freaked you out?
actually, no. I have in conventional therapy, but I haven't had people come to me for past life work that have freaked me out, no.
We have next Elizabeth in Alabama. Hello, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and tell you that I had an experience with a friend 25 years ago, giving me a birthday present as a past life regression session.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I went in not thinking anything other than it would be fun, you know, not thinking I would have any kind of realization. But I had three distinct past life feelings, almost as if it was a Polaroid snapshot of three lives. And the past life regression may have lasted an hour or so. And it's almost like dreams that we have, except with these you remember everything so clearly. And I could remember distinctly the three different lives. And what was strange is I was looking through my eyes. I didn't see myself. I didn't see my face or what was going on with my body. But it was looking through my eyes, and I could see, you know, the time period. I could see what I had on. And the strangest thing that made me feel so sure that I actually experienced it is I saw my feet and hands as if, you know, you're looking at your feet and hands as you talk and move through your normal life. And I recognize them. It's like, those are my hands and feet. And I have no doubt that I experience those things.
Yeah, and that's what you're describing is pretty common, is that you will be as if you are inside the body of your prior personality looking out. And like I'll ask clients, I'll have them describe their facial features for me, but I do it in the sense of as if you're looking in a mirror looking at yourself, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to see their face. So it'll be like you're looking in a mirror or a looking glass, and what your features look like. And that's how we'll be able to get facial features and things like that.
Do they ever in regression talk about their families?
Yeah, well, very often, that's one of the key things that I'll do is have people go to where they live, see who they're living with, have them at the last meal that they have as a family and who else is there, and we'll go through that. And then sometimes I'll have them go to their childhood home in that lifetime so we can see what circumstances they were in growing up and what dynamics were going on there that may have led to events later in their life.
And has anybody ever claimed to have been from another planet?
You know, that's very rare in my experience. I know there are certain other practitioners that get a little more into that kind of thing.
They get those cases.
Yeah, maybe a little more so, but almost inevitably, it's, you know, it's like less than 1% of people that I've worked with seem to be in a different realm.
Do they all seem to be human? I mean, have any of them been animals in another life?
I had one person once.
What were they?
A tiger or something.
A tiger.
I think. Yeah. So, and that would be for me, you know, I'm not sure what to make of that one other than it could have just been a metaphor going on, or maybe it really did happen. I don't know, but it's very, very uncommon.
Point.
For the people that I work with.
All right, we're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment with Ann Barnum as we talk about her work, The Past Life Perspective. Welcome back, Ann Barnum with us, her work, The Past Life Perspective. Ann, where do people get your book? Where is it available?
Just about everywhere. Today was the release date, so it's been published by an imprint of Simon & Schuster. You can get it at just about any retail outlet. So there's Barnes & Noble, you can get an iBook or an ebook. You can go to Amazon and order it there. Go to my website and there's links. So
it's everywhere.
Easy to find. Yeah.
Isn't our staff amazing? I mean, here the book comes out and bang, you're on. We got you right now. They're quick, huh?
Yeah, they're just right on. It's excellent. Very exciting.
What do you do next? Where does this take you personally with your work?
Well, my objective, the interesting thing is I've been regressing people quietly in my, you know, little sphere here and over Skype for some years. And this whole idea of writing a book just kind of kept nagging at me with the idea that it was really, really important to try to get this kind of understanding out to a larger audience and kind of more into the mainstream, that I really think our world is dying to have a new perspective and have a much greater level of kindness and compassion toward each other. And that, but I believe that if people are understanding their human journey as this ongoing process, and that the connections with other people are enduring and ongoing, that it maybe can help us shift up to a higher level of functioning. So for me, writing the book and getting it out there is kind of kicking me up to a different level of functioning, because I'm going much more public with what I do and really trying to get the word out. So it's kind of another lifetime for me now as a published author.
Good for you. Let's go to the Bronx in New York. DC's with us. DC, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you, George?
Fine.
And
everybody's good.
Good. I agree with what Anne was just saying. We are in much need of a new level of goodness, because society now is aware of spirituality, and society does have a spirituality as a whole, even though each person does individually, but as a whole, society does have a spirituality. Anyway, Anne, I wanted to share with you that ever since I was young, I always felt as though this was not my first time around, as though I had been here before. Very old soul. I have 5 scars throughout my body, which I truly believe that in a past life, I suffered a violent death. And these scars signify past injuries. Also, my grandmother and my grandfather were 8 years apart. She met him when she was 15, he was 23. My mother met my father when she was 15. He was also 23. And I met my first husband when I was 15, and he was also 23. Mm-hmm. That went off 3 generations. That's it. That's all I wanted to share.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Great stories. We could get you could write another book, Anne, just from the stories that come off this program.
Right. Exactly.
How long does it take someone to get hypnotized?
Depends a little bit on the individual. So if it's someone who has a regular meditation practice, or perhaps does yoga or qigong or something like that, they know how to go inward quickly, it can be very, very quick. It could be just a couple minutes. Typically, I use about a 15-minute process with clients, because a lot of people that come see me, it's their first time through. They're worried they're not going to get anything, so I like to put them in a nice, relaxed space and not rush the process. But it's not difficult, certainly.
Has anybody ever said anything about going through, like, hell, something like that?
Going through hell.
And I don't mean, like, going through hell living, but that place.
Right. No. What I have occasionally run into, almost inevitably, when people go through their death in their prior lifetime, they'll go immediately into, like, oh my gosh, all the pain is gone, my anger is gone, it's peaceful, it's loving. But occasionally, people will go to just kind of more a neutral place where there's just kind of nothing going on for a while. And maybe only once or twice have I had people that have kind of carried their negativity with them when they cross over, and that it's taken a little while for that to be released. But no, never have had anything that I would say is anything like what we would conceive of as hell once they've crossed over.
All right, let's go to Texas now. Hello, Kyle. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, Kyle.
I was wanting to ask your guest if dreams can be a part of a past life memory, because I've had a series of reoccurring dreams where me and my wife, but I've never met we'll go to a lady's house and visit with her and sit there, and I've never seen these people before, and I was just wanting to see if she thought that could be a past life memory of some kind.
And I am going to assume you're going to say in dreams you may be able to do that, but I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, dreams are another great clue sometimes to past life material, particularly if they're recurring, and also if they're really vibrant. You know, it's like those kind of dreams that just really leave you with real impact, or you wake up and you kind of wonder, gosh, did that happen or not? That definitely can be a clue to, or maybe you did a little visit to some past life memories while you were dreaming. So, yes, very possible.
When people have nightmares, could they be having nightmares of bad past lives?
Absolutely. That's also quite true. In fact, I have a very dramatic story in my book about a young man that came to me with dreams of dying in the Vietnam War. And he was having nightmares about this.
Oh, geez.
And so we were able to go back and go through that experience for him, and that was the end of the nightmares.
Karen's in Amarillo, Texas now. Hello, Karen. You're up.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Back in the 80s, I had a life-altering accident that put me in the hospital for just about a year. And after I came out, I started in the evenings just turning everything off in my home and just sitting on a sofa or in a comfortable chair with the radio on low just to wind down before I went to bed. I started having flashes, and they were only very short, a second, maybe two, of walking the deck of an old ship. Now, the ship had wooden decks, and it was a sail steam hybrid, paddle wheel style.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have never been on a ship like that in my life. And in one memory, it is crystal blue skies, seagulls flying around the mast, and then it just turned to this severe storm, lightning flashes, almost dark. You could barely see around a ship. And it would go from port to starboard very, very abruptly. And there were lowering lifeboats, and one lifeboat swung when the ship came back from one side to the other. It swung the lifeboat on a divot up in the air, and it crashed on the deck with bodies everywhere. And the only other memory I have of it is being in the water, and the clothes I had on were all cotton, and they were pulling me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been aquaphobic my entire life.
No surprise.
And I don't know if this is just a vivid imagination or if it is something from a past life.
Yeah, one way to know would be to actually try to do regression and see if you go into that lifetime and can learn more about it. But it sounds like that possibly having been in an accident that sounded like it was pretty life-threatening, that had you in the hospital for a year, that may have reactivated something for you. And this is very true for people that sometimes have spontaneous past life recall, is that it's often activated by a similar event or occurrence, or you are the same age as when something happened in the prior lifetime that was traumatic, and that kind of stirs things up again in your current life. So it could have been that by having such a serious accident, that kind of reactivated perhaps something from a lifetime where you did drown, there were people dying all around you, and it was very much of a life-threatening situation as well.
You know, and the work you've done, and there are others who have done it, I think it's simply remarkable and so needed. So needed on this planet right now. Probably more now than ever, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, we're at such a tremendous opportunity. I do think there's some shifting of consciousness, and then we look at what's going on in our politics, and we go, oh my God, what's going on? But so there's a real dichotomy going on. And so it also provides us with a tremendous opportunity. And my hope is that we're going to feel a shift coming where we do incorporate these higher understandings and these important principles, and humanity steps it up here.
We've got a first-time caller. Vernon is truck driving in Tennessee. Hey, Vernon, thanks for calling.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
The reason I was calling is I'm very interested in trying to do a past life or hypnosis because of a dream that I had. Quickly on the dream, I was in a room where there was just books on all the walls, no windows, no doors. And I asked, I said to myself, oh, great, how am I going to get out of here? And a voice came to me and said, when you read the books, the way will be open to you. So I said, I'll never read all these books. And the voice came back to me and said, if you never try, you'll never know. So I started reading the books. And as I read the books, I realized that I had already read the books. And so I finished reading all the books in the room, and a bookcase opened up, and there was this big lighted staircase that went up to a second room, which was on top of the room that I was on. And when I went into that room, there were beings in this room. It was kind of like what I would consider the House of Records and the Hall of Records. And it was the light was so bright that the beings were only silhouettes, and the bookcases went out into infinity. Mm-hmm. And so I walked up to like this countertop, and one of the beings came up to me and said, what do you want? And I said, I don't know. I read these books downstairs, and when it was open, I came up to me. And they said, who are you? And I told them my name, and they said, oh, we've been waiting for you. Wait a minute. And they went and got a book and came back. And I opened the book up, or they opened the book up, and I started reading. And this information was given to me, but I can't remember the information. And I really want to get back there to, to get the information that they were trying to give to me.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if under hypnosis you could retrieve that information. I would say on some level you got it, that you know, this was some sort of soul communication going on for you in that dream, and that you were given certain information that may not be on your in your conscious mind and conscious awareness right now, but I think you got it on some level. So it's in there, and it's just frustrating because you want to know what it was, and you possibly could retrieve that. In hypnosis, it would be interesting to see whether you could get that.
Good luck, Vernon. Hope all works out. In your book, The Past Life Perspective, do you have a favorite chapter? You've got many.
Oh, gosh. Do I have a favorite chapter? I don't think anyone's asked me that question.
I ask the unusual ones.
Do I have a favorite chapter? Wow. It would be very hard for me.
I like the one about I'm not a Nazi.
That's a great chapter also because that was a client that I had worked with for some years in regular counseling as well. So, that was, I think one of the funnest ones for me was also there's, I don't know if you remember the fellow who was the Spanish nobleman that
was riding
around insulting the gypsies and being very arrogant and, The fun part was that personality came through so strongly in the session that he was even talking about needing to use the facilities outdoors because he needed to, what did he say? I need to relieve my bladder. Is it possible for me to go outdoors? You know, and so it was like that personality was so consistent that he was in his time period.
I love it. Hey, Ann, keep in touch with us. You do remarkable work.
Thank you so much.
Love to keep in touch with you. Up next, we've got a couple hours to go of open lines right here on Coast to Coast. Anything goes. Lots going on. Let's talk about it with you next.